I was listening this past week. Well, no, I can't say that I was listening. Someone else was listening, and I overheard something on the radio. It was one of these fellas that I could tell you his name, and you would probably recognize it. But one of these fellas that does these, financial advice on the radio. All right, he's a talk show guy. And he had a caller that called in, and he said their question was, what is the best or the cheapest place to retire? Okay, you might think on the surface that's a maybe that's a good question. Maybe you think it's a good question. And of course, they went into all kinds of things like, you might consider states that don't have an income tax. You know, if you've got some kind of income coming in that would be taxable, you know, it'd be good to live in a state that. And the guy that was giving the advice, he said, ultimately, he said, I think you ought to plan to be able to retire where you want to, and just be able to take into consideration all these other things, whatever that is. And, you know, somewhere along in there, I just kind of tuned them out. And I was thinking about if I would choose to retire from my everyday work and move to a distant location, let's say Florida, that's a long ways away from here. My family lives around here. I mean, Florida is a long ways from Alabama, and that's where my brother lives. But I'm thinking, now what would my family think if I just packed up and moved to Florida? What would the congregation think? What would the people that I've known, you know, in my everyday life association, oh, they retired and moved away. Well, you know, there's something about that that just sends a signal of nobody in my life is important. There's no level of importance. My children that may be trying to make a living and all of that, and I put, not only do I just leave them, but now where does the burden of coming to see me? And do they want to come and see me after I just packed up and left them? So what about all the... can you imagine being, let's say, 70 and moving to a different state, going through all of the things that you have to do when you move to a different state and not knowing anybody? I mean, what is the good of retiring if you don't know your next door neighbor? You know, I'd like to be able to say when I get to that age where I feel like I can quit my everyday work that I've got neighbors and people around me that that I enjoy being around. You know, maybe they won't come to church with me, but maybe I can stop by and just visit with them, and we can talk about grandchildren or something together. You know, I'm thinking about those kind of things. So I was thinking about spiritually. You know, I thought the advice of the man that said, you know, you ought to plan to be able to retire where you want to retire. I thought, you know, that's probably the most sound thing that a person could give as far as advice. You know, I think we live in a society today where people are speculating about, there's people out there that they're just uncertain about what eternity holds. First off, they're uncertain about life after death. They're uncertain about that. And there's a lot of people out there, I believe, today that's uncertain about the effort that it takes to be prepared to go to the place that you want to go, to spend eternity, to spend your retirement of life, if you want to say it that way, the retirement of your spiritual man. Where are you going to spend that? Where are you going to end up? Well, I want to tell you, I'm not interested in trying to find the cheapest place. And there's people out there that think that they're going to get some kind of discount heaven, I think. There's people that think they're going to escape torment, but yet they're not willing to put the effort to really be confident to be in, that they'll be in God's presence. Well, I want to tell you, I'm not interested in getting spiritual counsel today of how I can just barely eke by. And I'm not interested in entertaining anything, any other thought than being able to spend eternity, my retirement of my spiritual man with the Lord. I want to plan. I want to make preparations to where I can be confident that throughout eternity I'll be able to be in the presence of my Lord and my Savior. I don't want to think about being in some kind of other place. There's not but two places, and the other one is a horrible place. So I want to just challenge us today to start thinking about, my wife knows this, she'll tell you, I'm not one that really dwells a whole lot on what my temporal retirement is going to be. Yeah, I don't want to live in a hut somewheres and wonder about whether I'm going to have electricity and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not somebody that's consumed with trying to think about planning to where I can live like no one else does, as somebody says on the radio. But I am pretty much absorbed in the idea of being prepared to spend eternity with the Lord. I'm pretty much consumed and eat up with that. So I'd like for us to look at a few places here in the Scripture today and just ask ourselves, what kind of preparation are we making? Are we really making preparations to spend our eternal spiritual retirement where we want to? Because I believe we all can. I'd like for us to turn to Revelations, the third chapter. And I'd like to begin reading maybe in verse 6. It says here, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth." Now, first verse we read was, if you got an ear, then listen to what the Spirit's got to say. If you have the ability to understand today, then pay attention. Don't cast it aside. Don't say, oh, well, I'll do that some other time. But pay attention today if you got an ear. He says to the angel or the minister of the church of Philadelphia, there's something here I'm going to write to you. The things that these things saith he that is the holy, that is true, that hath the key of the David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I believe he's talking about God. All right? He says, I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So he says, I know about you. God knows about you today. He knows where we stand. He knows what my plans are. He knows what my eternal determination is here this morning. And he says, I've set before thee an open door. Now, what's an open door mean to you? It's kind of like a blank check. There's an opportunity here for you to have something if you're willing to listen, he said earlier, if you're willing to walk through the open door, there is something that you can have if you will. And I am so thankful that an eternal spiritual retirement with God, there's an open door for us. I believe it's available for us. I don't believe there's anyone that's excluded because of background, because of ethnicity, of anything. I believe you're available. It's available to you. Maybe I could say it that way. He says here in the ninth verse, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." Now he says there's some real consequence for those that are hypocritical. So it's important today. The Lord, see, he says he knows. He said in the eighth verse, "I know thy works." He knows who you are. He knows what your intentions are. He knows what your retirement plans are, if you will. And if you're being hypocritical, he's going to know that. And he's going to search that out. But the tenth verse says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So he's challenging us to make plans, to hold our crown, to not allow something to creep in. And you know, there comes a time in your retirement planning that you've got to start making sure that you're holding on to. There's maybe a time that you can be more speculative and more adventuresome and those kind of things. But, you know, there comes a time that you need to start being serious about what you're going to do. And if you're going to hold on to what you've got. And today, my challenge is let's listen, let's pay attention, and let's be prepared to hold on to what we've got. Because I want my spiritual retirement to be with the Lord. I don't want to come up to the end and find out that my emotions have been fluctuating up and down, and all of a sudden I realize I'm at the end, and I've allowed my emotional flares to cause me to be in a place of want with the Lord. I don't want to be that way. I want to hold on and be prepared for that day. He says in the 11th verse, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." He says, "I'll make him a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out." Now, I don't know what that means to you, but my thought is this morning. I believe if we'll hold fast and be prepared for him coming, that if we end our life as an overcomer, he will make us a pillar in that new Jerusalem where others can look on and he's not going out anymore. He's not susceptible. I hope you can bear with my little thought here. We're not going to be susceptible anymore to the temptations and the things. Once we cross that line over into our spiritual retirement, we're not susceptible any longer to temptations and to trials and tests. But he can establish us as a pillar and as a beacon. And what better thing could we do in retirement? Sometimes I think that our society around us is so geared to entertainment that they're looking for a literal retirement here that's just full of one dinner show after another, and just one entertaining activity after another, and that's what they're looking forward to in retirement. Now, I want to tell you, I can think of a lot better things to do in retirement than just to go from one place of entertainment to another. I look on some of the older people that I have known that has went into retirement, and they have kept themselves busy and maybe engaged in some form of maybe their occupation, and been able to be maybe a kind of a counselor or a sounding board. They've been established, you might say, as a pillar in maybe some field of, maybe it's a technical field, and maybe there's somebody that's not physically able to go, or maybe they've been a minister and they're not physically able to really stand before the people any longer, but others can go there and they can counsel with them and get some good advice, and they've kept themselves, you might say, in a position where their minds are alert and they're able to be a pillar in the visible body of Christ in this world. But I'm thinking here, the Lord says he talks about making them a pillar, and they're not going out any longer. The Lord wants to establish us as a beacon even after we're gone. A beacon of faithfulness, a beacon of integrity. You think about that kind of spiritual retirement. That's the kind I want. I don't want one where somebody is sitting around and on the holidays they're chewing their fingernails and wondering about old dad and wondering if he made it or not. I don't want that. I want them to be able to say, I believe he's a pillar in that New Jerusalem. That's the kind of spiritual retirement that I'm looking forward to. And I want you to look forward to that too. He goes on to say, in the 13th verse, he says again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I believe what he has to say is important, and I believe it's important for us to listen. I believe I'm able to listen today, so I better pay attention. The 14th verse says, and unto the church, or unto the angel of the church, of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness in the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We can be there spiritually. We can be lukewarm. We can be poor. And we can be wretched, and we can be miserable, and we can be in a place where we are not in a position to enter into a spiritual retirement with the Lord. We can be there because he says, pay attention, you got an ear? Listen to what I'm going to have to say here. He says in the 18th verse, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Don't be chafing if you feel like the Lord is scratching on you today a little bit. If you feel like you're being don't be chafing under that. He says, it's because I love you. It's because I want you to have the kind of retirement that is that makes you a pillar in spirit. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm challenging you here. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Invest in something that's going to pay the dividends that you really want. Now, if you're going to make investments in this world for some kind of little retirement, there's things that you don't want to invest in. You don't want to invest in racing mules, probably. You don't want to invest in maybe something else that's kind of absurd. And I wouldn't invest in advise anybody to invest in stuff like cassette recording equipment, you know, or cassette technology or something like that, or floppy drives or something. I wouldn't advise you to invest in that at all. In fact, if you got any kind of resources and floppy drive copyrights and patents and stuff like that, I would sell it off. Even if it's at a loss, I'd sell it off today and invest in something that's better than that. But he says here, I counsel of you to buy something, to invest in something that's going to get you to the place of spiritual retirement that you want to be. Not some kind of cheapskate, cut rate, eternity, because there's not one. There's not one. We're either going to be in the high rent district, or we're going to be in torment. One of the two. And I believe we can all be in the high rent district. We can all walk on the streets of gold. We can all be with Jesus Christ. We can enjoy the illumination of the gospel and of God's presence. We can enjoy that. But we got to invest in the gold today. We got to be prepared. We've got to not give in. We've got to set our face like a flint, so to speak. We've got to follow the advice here that's in Revelations, and we've got to be able to and willing to give an ear and to hear. He says in the 20th verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne." See, that's the high rent district. That's the place that everybody wants to retire. He says, "Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has said unto the churches." If we're able to understand this morning, pay attention. We're going to come to the day that we're going to enter into some kind of spiritual retirement. We're going to enter into something. And I'll tell you, folks, I want to be up there in the throne room. Yes. I want to be where the streets are paved with gold. I want to be where there's no sun or moon, because the illumination comes from the presence of God. I want to be in that place. I don't want to be in a place that it's dark and there's wailing and gnashing of teeth and all of those kind of... I don't want to be in that place. But I want to plan to be, I want to plan for my retirement to be in the place that I want it to be. I want to be with those that have been pillars in the New Jerusalem, that have been established. I look to today and I think, Lord, I want to be faithful like they were. I'd like for us to turn to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and notice just a few verses here in closing. Isaiah 55. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "Ho!" Now, what would you think if every time I got up into the pulpit here at the home congregation, I said, "Ho!" What do you think the prophet's doing here? He's saying, "Listen up." Now, what did he say? What did the writer say in Revelations? "He that hath an ear, listen, pay attention." So here the writer says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me." Ho, again. "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." What's he talking about? Is he talking about eating a big Thanksgiving meal with all the hot rolls and mashed potatoes and gravy and turkey and what is stuffing and everything else? Is that what he's talking about? No, he's talking about spiritual appetites and hungering and thirsting after the things that will fill us spiritually. He's talking about drinking of the waters of everlasting life. He's talking about buying and investing in something that will ensure our eternal spiritual retirement, if you'll let me portray it that way, in being able to be with the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He says, incline your ear. Here he says, I mean, in Revelations he said, if you got an ear, hear. And here he started this chapter out by saying, ho. And now he says in the third verse, incline your ear, or tilt it in a manner. And I found I'm at an age that it helps to incline my ear. There's things that I don't hear without refocusing, you know, turning my ear, or maybe putting my hand up or something like that. And if I don't take some extra precautions, I miss it. Sometimes I have to say, what did you say anyway? But he says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, we're listening, see, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Don't you want an everlasting covenant for good? I want to be able to have a secure spiritual retirement. I don't want to have something that's shaky. I don't want to get down to the end of this life and wonder where I'm going to spend eternity. But I want it to be sure and established. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus here. He says, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. He's talking about the New Jerusalem. He's talking about the spiritual Israel. He's talking about he's prophesying about the age that we live in today, of being able to come to a place where we know that where we're going to spend our retirement. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The time to plan for retirement is now. If you're 20 or you're 30, it's time to start planning for your temporal retirement. Put a little bit back. You'd be surprised how good it would be if you put just a few dollars back a month from the time you was 20 until you was 60. It wouldn't have to be a whole lot. But if you put just a little bit back when you get to be 60 or 70, you'll be so glad you did. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. It doesn't matter where we're at. If we'll start investing in establishing a spiritual retirement account today, you start working towards that. You start laying aside the stuff that the Lord says lay aside. You start seeking him with your whole heart. What did he just say here? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We're talking about investing in a spiritual retirement plan that's out of this world. We'll live like no one else. I'm serious. We'll live like no one else. But we've got to invest in it. We've got to buy of this spiritual nourishment today. We've got to apply ourselves. We've got to give an ear to it. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down now, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. You know, there's a lot of of routine and everyday thing that's going on. But I want to tell you this morning, if we'll give an ear, if we'll listen, if we'll pay attention, if we'll start investing now, it doesn't matter what your age is. If you haven't started investing for your spiritual retirement, start. If you have started, it's time to assess our accounts. You know, if you got some mutual funds, that sometimes it pays to go and kind of look at them and see, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? If you got money invested in something, maybe it's time to find out if it's paying any dividends or not. Literally. But spiritually, let's see what we've been investing in. Is it paying the dividends? Is it getting our hearts and lives closer to Him? Is the activities I'm engaging in, is the things that I'm spending my time and my intellect on, is it something that's drawing me closer to the Lord? Am I being able to get a hold of, am I spending my energies for the things that's profiting me spiritually? If it's not, it's time to change our retirement plan, our investment plan. It's time to make some adjustments. Lord, help me today. I want to be able to live like no one else through eternity. I want to be able to live on the streets of gold. I want to be with the Lord. I want to have that close communion with Him. And by all means, I want to give an ear now. What He's saying to the churches. I want to give an ear now, and I want to hold on to the things that's going to ensure my spiritual retirement. My challenge for us is today is check what you're spending your time on, what your investments are, spiritually speaking. Assess where you're at and where you're going. And if you keep on the path that you're going spiritually, will you get where you want to go? You pray for me.